It's Social Web Cafe. Got your favorite drink and ready to sit back and relax? Okay, here we go.
Motivating magnificence, inspiring innovation. This is Marketing Momentum with Charles and Deborah, your weekly checkpoint to encourage the marketing momentum that is within you.
I love you. I'd have to.
Today, Charles and Deborah talk about YouTube's training and the tips for success on that ever so popular channel.
I just won't do. The smile on your face.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Marketing Momentum with Charles and Deborah.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, well, I like the channel itself. The channel itself was out of a class, and you probably didn't take the class. You don't have to.
Thank you.
The class that YouTube did on what I think is really interesting about where they're going with this is, for ever since we've been involved in internet marketing, everything's been a secret with them. When it comes to the algorithm, everything's kind of been a secret as to what do you need to do to be successful. And they're still not necessarily saying what you need to be successful in search, right? They're not saying what everything that they're not going to tell you everything that you need to do to get a quote-unquote video rank. But they don't even want you to be concerned about that. But they're telling you everything that they want you to know to be a better video creator. I mean, obviously, because they want to be able to serve ads to more people, they want you to extend your reach because that extends their reach, and they get more ad revenue. But they're really telling people, hey, you know, they're getting involved, right, at a level of – at a different level than Webmaster Tools is involved with the people in search, right? They're saying, look, come learn, right? Come learn. We're not going to charge you anything. We want you to be good at this, and we want you to make money at it, right? So, I may have mentioned this before on the show. They have said they want some people to make this their full-time job. They want people to do nothing but create videos, right? And create content for people that want to see it, and they want them to earn a living, right, on YouTube. And so they're doing what they can to facilitate this. And, you know, that's an interesting role for a company as large as Google to be involved in. Now, everything that you always have heard about being involved in their marketing goes along with that. All the cautions. You don't want to depend on Google for your income. They can change something in a minute. But it appears to me that the relationship they're trying to establish with video creators is different from those they established with people who were doing search engine optimization. In other words, it was always kind of a wink, wink, nod, nod. We know you're out there doing this, but here are the rules. We know you're breaking them, but it's okay. But with YouTube, it really seems as if they're saying, hey, come in. We want to show you how to do this, and we want you to make money because, you know, ultimately we make money too.
I would agree. I like that.
Want to be a part of Social Web Cafe TV's family? We are here to help entertain and provide you with the resources and the latest scoop. Subscribe to the Social Web Cafe TV Insider, free at socialwebcafe.tv.
I love Google, personally, and they came to me and, you know, offered me the opportunity to do helpouts for Hangouts and teach people how to use Hangouts, and so I was thrilled. Unfortunately, and Google, sorry I'm admitting this to the public, but there's a little glitch somehow that doesn't work on my particular account, that I am a team that has no ability to add members. So while my helpout is out there, I can't tell in the world that I'm available because there's just a little glitch. But, you know, that's to be expected. Anytime technology rolls out, there's always going to be glitches, and I was at the very beginning pre-launch. So they're working on trying to fix that. But all of my interactions, and believe me, with that little glitch there, I've talked to the people at Google in the helpouts department, and they truly are very, very helpful. So anyone that is starting a helpout, which is another almost like a child product of the Hangout process, they're really a good team. And from what I've found, either they're trained really well to say nice things, or they're just genuinely – I think they're genuinely nice people, and Google knows how to hire them. But they're genuinely helpful, and they're genuinely interested in my success as well. And I would normally think that, oh, they're just tolerating, you know, a big company, they don't need me, so they're just tolerating me. And like you said, you know, this big secret on the algorithms, you don't hear anything. It's like this big mystery or whatever in California, this Google, what's Google doing? But all of my interactions with them, I found them very personable and very encouraging. So even if my help out isn't live yet and we're still working on it and I'm practicing patience with and I'm fixing it, I still have to say their customer service is really stellar. So, yeah, I would agree with you that it's really nice that they're opening it up and really making it available so that people can work, you know, full time with the Google products. And love what you said, Charles, that don't depend on that, like the 100%, because you just don't. Hey, don't depend on anything. Isn't that a true statement? And anything as your 100%. Have a backup plan.
Want to learn more? Take Deborah to coffee for 75 cents per week and hear her tips on proven action steps to move your business forward in success.
Yeah, you have to. You know, everything online is, you know, it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. So, and you just never know when something is coming, you know, up on your flank to replace you or replace it or do something that's disruptive, right? And one of the things that you know, I'd say about, you know, about Google, and it's one that's been said over and over again, is that there was at some point when, you know, Windows was disruptive in terms of the technology, and it had its place, and it felt like a permanent fixture, and even the things that they were doing felt as if they had a sense of permanence, right? And video has that same permanence now. That being said, nothing is permanent. So, you know, from a marketing standpoint, it really does come back to the fundamentals. You still got to be able to express, you know, uniqueness. You still got to build a customer list. You still got to be able to do JVs. You still got to be able to, you know, you still got to be able to your market. All of those things are fundamental and things don't change, right? Those fundamentals are always going to be there regardless of what the medium is. It's just that now, you know, you sort of but at the same time, though, and we've talked about this before, we haven't talked about this on the show, is that the whole content game changes things slightly in that if people decide to follow Google down this route, right? And they say, okay, I'm gonna take them up on this. I'm gonna make my full time living making videos. I'm gonna make content for people to watch. Well, that means that their monetization model is, for lack of a better word, it is advertising. They are in the advertising business. They are in the sponsored business. Right, they're trying to get they're selling products for other people by bringing an audience. That's a little different than the traditional, you know, marketing. But in a way, you know, it's media, and it hasn't yet taken the place of television and news, but in a way it's taken a piece of that market, right? Because the reason we don't watch as much news anymore is because we're watching ourselves. And I think we like watching ourselves. And we're liking it a lot more than it does. I think when I see that news organizations, and we talked about this, we talked about Jeff Bezos, and I was thinking he's going to have to do some innovative things with the Washington Post, because the fact of the matter is, it's not about Google and YouTube. We like watching videos. We're not reading what other people wrote anymore. Not because it's not good and not worth our time. It's that now everybody can write, everybody can produce, and some of it is interesting. And so we're watching more of that. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't get involved in YouTube and put their own videos out there, but it's just a fact of the matter. All of this means that we're watching more of our own content, and I can be watching my, you know, my neighbor down the street, you know, mow his lawn on YouTube or in a video, and for some reason, that's interesting now to us in our culture.
That's true. You know, we were out to eat the other day, and my son and his girlfriend were sitting here, and I said, oh, did you know? And I don't remember what the news was. It's like, yeah, where'd you hear this? And so I'm talking to my son's girlfriend, and it's like, where'd you hear that? Oh, I got a Mashable email, and then it's over here. And so she's on her smartphone. She's looking it up. And, I mean, that is normal now. It's like we're not sitting down in front of the 6 o'clock news together. We're over at a restaurant waiting for the food, and we're talking about what Mashable has reported.
And it doesn't matter if – it doesn't matter if the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times is online. That's what I think. I think that when people say they didn't make the move to online fast enough, I don't even think that that's the issue, right? It's not that they don't have websites. It's not that they don't have interesting stuff. It's not that they don't have videos. It's not that they don't have podcasts. They have all that stuff. It's just that I can now hear from other people, right? It used to be that the media was the media, and that's who you heard. That was the only way to broadcast. That was the only way to listen to somebody was turn on your radio, turn on television. But if you didn't have a television station, didn't have radio license, nobody was going to hear you. Well, now I can hear other people. It's democratized. So everybody can talk. I can hear everybody. And so now, you know, because of that, I don't know, you know, the future of this now is that it maybe in the economy, maybe this is too philosophical, but maybe everybody has got to be in this sort of game a little bit. And maybe part of the way that a lot more people now have to construct whatever their income or their compensation is they've got to be able to have a sponsor at something. They've got to be able to sell something, you know, some information. That gone are the days when you've got a company, you've got a product, you've got a suite of products, you have to sell them, and you are one company. Well, maybe not. Maybe part of everybody's income, right? Part of everybody's business has got to be that they've got to put something out there that people watch for entertainment or for information, right?
Makes a lot of sense. Now, when you took the class on the video creators, did they go through any of this, or what did you learn? Was it just a basic video?
They went through the whole thing. I mean, they went through monetization. They went through everything from monetization to getting a video up there to developing an audience, getting subscribers. You know, things that you know we've talked about scheduling. Right, how important that is, being consistent, how you relate to people when you're in your video, when to do hangouts. So they're talking about all this stuff. They're basically talking about how you operate a YouTube channel as if it is your broadcast station, as if it is your money-making opportunity.
Wow, so it's not just – when people are looking at that as far as the video creators, it isn't just, hey, how do we slap a video up there? YouTube is pretty comprehensive with their academy to go through everything.
They do, and I mean they've got a written guide. They've got the – I think it's called the Creator's Handbook or Playbook, and it's got everything in there soup to nuts, right? So things that, you know, I'd say almost 6 to 8 months ago – things that, I mean, I talked about in an information product, right? I talked about 6 to 8 months ago. Well, they've now made that public. They're saying, hey, this isn't a secret. This is not for everybody. This is not for folks to have to hunt for. We want everybody to know this. This is part of the playbook. This is how you do it. And they're making all of that information. They're telling you basically where the ad revenue comes from. They're telling you how not to get yourself in a bind. Right, don't do stupid things with your YouTube channel. It's valuable to you.
I found it helpful. I didn't watch the videos. I probably have the attention span of a flea sometimes, but I did read through the material and the you know, the content as far as the checklist and things. And that was very helpful. It was like, oh, wow. I mean, it was part of it. A lot of it was, wow, I'm doing that right. I'm doing that. Cool. YouTube is recommending that and I'm already doing it. But it was also, like you said, Charles, very helpful. There's some things in there. Okay, don't do this. So it's like, make mental note. YouTube said, don't do this. Because there's some areas where it's like you hear people saying, hey, you should go do this. And it's not even necessarily ethics, right or wrong. It's just, no, this doesn't work on the platform. And pretty much if YouTube says don't do it, then don't do it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, we're still kind of bathed in the SEO world. And so when people were learning SEO and everybody was trying to learn a little bit of it, everybody was guessing a little bit, right, at what Google meant. And everybody was guessing a little bit and saying, well, this is what I think it means because I did this and it worked. And I think that with YouTube, you know, as I said earlier, they're trying to take the guess. They don't want you guessing about this. They don't want this to be like the, SEO analyst saying this is what a backlink is worth and this is what it means to have a social signal. They're trying to get people not to think in those terms when they're gonna create videos for obviously for Google's customers. At the end of the day, they're saying we want you to help. You want you to serve our customers. And this is how you do it. And they don't want you to guess about because they make more money if we get it right.
Exactly. And I think if we can focus somehow on, you know, going back to the core of as far as producing the quality videos and putting the quality content. I didn't say perfect content. I said quality content rather than the marketing or the SEO that we were taught even back in the 90s. I mean, I watched the video where Matt Cutts says, you cannot get payment for a link. Well, payment can also include link exchange. And it's funny because right after that, I got an email from somebody that says, hey, can we do a link exchange? It's like, no, because Matt Cutts said, no, do that. You know, you can think, is that a payment? If I say, hey, if I put your link here and you put my link, then we're paying each other for the link. It's a link exchange. But then, you know, you look at some of these commenting systems. And I know I'm digressing a bit here, but you've got the commenting systems where like Comment Love. And, you know, when I comment, really. I'm putting a relevant link or something that I think that relates, but I'm commenting on their blog, not for that link. I'm commenting because I want to add value to the discussion. And so I feel like sometimes when we're looking at, okay, what is this with Google? What is our intent on here? Are we only doing something to go buy a link? Or are we doing it because we're adding value? And I think Google's message is they want the value.
Join in this week and all weeks at socialwebcafe.tv, socialwebcafe.com, and don't forget to look us up on iHeartRadio.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I've said in the past, I probably pay for one. There's only one membership site that I pay for, and in the information marketing world, it's probably a little pricey. It's not a secret. These guys are associated with Bruce Clay, and they do SEO. Guy's name is Russell Wright. It's called ThemeZoom. And one of the things that they are talking about with respect to SEO is that there's something beyond Google. There's something called the semantic web that Google is a part of. That everything is really moving in a direction where it really matters that you have authority as demonstrated by the, lack of a better word, the depth of what you're communicating. So it's not that the Google engineers are out to try to eliminate SEO. It's just that things are moving in a direction where the entire web, which encompasses Google, is really going to be based on semantics. I should be able to say what it is I want and get it instantly. That's what the whole web is being designed now to do. And there are forces in place to bring that about. So it's almost as if, and I don't know when this is going to happen, but you know, linking and all these other things in order to establish authority, in order to look like authority, I don't know how much longer it's going to matter in a sense. And again, I'm not saying, oh, it's the end of SEO, it's the death of SEO. I'm saying that there are very real it's not a conspiracy. It's not a, you know, it's not a question. There's a web outside of Google, much larger. And the goal of that web is to make it semantic, right? Not based on keywords, that I should be able to say what it is I want, and that this semantic web can figure out what I'm thinking and to give it to me, right? That's what it's designed to do. And it's not. How can I put it? It's not a question. It's happening, right? And so, and you can see it now with schema.org, mm-hmm. right? And they're saying, well, look, if you're going to have a bunch of products on your website, identify them, and you're not identifying them to Google. So that's the thing. You're identifying them to the larger semantic web, right? Because this is an agreement even with Google, Bing, and Yahoo, and all the other search engines. It's bigger than that, but they're agreeing on this stuff, what's in schema. And schema is about the semantic web. It has nothing to do with Google. Now, Google is going to be wise to give you that information when you go to their site and you call for it. It's going to be in their best interest to make it so that you can get it quickly and faster at their site than you can anyplace else. But all of these companies are racing to be the ideal place in the semantic web for someone to be able to say something and for you to be able to get it without having to – you know, without having to doctor, without having to fix your keywords, to just say it and to be able to get it. That means then that linking and trying to figure this out, it's going to be impossible, right? These are neural networks that are just beyond anybody's ability to kind of, you know, fix keywords and put all that stuff in place and try to put this social network here and try to tweet this out. There's not even going to be about this out. They want to be able to get you the information when you say it. And so, you know, we sort of have this period where we're in between and we're doing what we're doing. That's just – Google is positioning themselves to be that site where you can get all that and get it instantly.
You know what I'm picturing? As you're talking, I'm picturing, like, you have a bunch of kids, and they could be, like, 50-year-old kids playing in a sandbox with their little, like, look, my truck goes over here. Look, it goes up over this little, you know, bump that I made in the sandbox, whatever. And you've got, like, these labs over here with these scientists with these white coats and this whole neural, you know, network aspect. And it's like, we're still playing over in the sandbox thinking, look at us, we were successful. Our truck went higher than the other truck. We're king of the hill, or, you know, the whole thing. And totally oblivious to what's actually going on. And I think you're right. We're in those in between that sandbox and that laboratory. And if we don't set our eyes towards where we're going, we're still going to be stuck in that sandbox.
Yeah, it is. And you know, when I first started listening to these guys, they're talking about, you know, how to make your site silo architecture, and that's what everybody's talking about now. They've always said that that's not even the issue. It's just that that's the proper way to structure a website, to put mm-hmm. things in silos. But at the same time, though, they've always sounded a little bit like these, like Alan, who was the guy's name who wrote Future Shock? I can't remember what his name was. They always sounded like these people that kind of talked about something that was never going to happen. Right. And then all of a sudden, these little changes that Google has been making, these acquisitions they've been making, started to line up with the things that they have been saying for years. Right. They've been saying this is going to happen for years, not because of Google, but because of the way the web was constructed and what it was meant to do. It's always meant to be a place for you to be able to find anything at the drop of a hat, for you to be able to say something. You still have to type it. Well, now we've got these devices and it can figure out what we're saying. So I don't know, you know, it's gonna but what I like about where video is that it's an opportunity to, just like the Volvo thing, to communicate something without having to get, you know, without having to oversell it. It's kind of like, we're the best. This is the best truck you can buy. Here's the evidence, right? And so Does it level the playing field in a way? Yeah, it does. It can still favor big brands if they can get, but big brands are not going to be any more prominent if they can't and refuse to make their case, right? And it still, once again, brings the field level again for people who are willing to deliver the quality and to make their case direct to the people.
There you have it, the level playing field. And if you want some tips, especially on how to play in YouTube Sandbox, check out the YouTube Video Academy channel, and we will link to that in the show notes. Thank you so much, Charles. This has been very enlightening on several levels, as they always are, and I love talking to you. So thank you for another episode of Marketing Momentum. And I love when you do it, Charles, when you do the subscribe here. Go on.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, right on. Make sure you hit right down here the button. Make sure to subscribe so you get more of what we're doing.
Exactly. And be sure and listen to us on iHeartRadio. And I talked to the people over there. They're really sweet people, too. So spend some time on iHeartRadio and check out other talk shows. And be sure to add our talk show. So all you have to do is search for Marketing Momentum with Charles and Deborah, and you will find it right away. So be sure and add that.
Excellent. Yep. And pretty soon, I guess, you'll be able to get us in your car.
Yes. Yes, that would be nice. Exciting. All right. We'll catch you next week in another episode of Marketing Momentum with Charles and Deborah. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Subscribe to the Social Web Cafe podcast at socialwebcafe.tv to receive a fresh and free episode of Marketing Momentum every Thursday.